I wonder how many forgot to move their clocks ahead. Huh? I was thinking of the family with the baptism. I thought that they might forget that. You know that they had television in the time of Jesus. You know that? Well, if you listen closely to the end of the gospel, at the end it says, television to no one. Had to make sure that some of those smiles were still on your faces this week. I want to do a little something a little different this week. I want to just kind of take the scripture readings and kind of see where we might end up as we look at the scripture readings. I'll have to find that page number here. In the first scripture reading, there's the phrase, and what we do when we kind of look at the scripture readings in the Lectio Divina style, they say, kind of read the scripture and then kind of just see which words or which phrase leaps out at you. And then just spend some time with that phrase or with that word and listen to it so that you might be able to hear the voice of God in what is being said. And it might be something specific for you. And so in that first scripture reading, the thing that leapt out at me was, I will make of you a great nation. I will make of you a great nation, he said to Abram. Remember now, Abram and his little flock were a little flock. They were not really a country, huh? And it took them 40 years to go from Egypt to the land where they would have the land flowing with milk and honey. So when he was speaking this to Abram, it was just a small group of people. And here Abraham was supposed to trust God. You know, there were just a few of them. And so he was saying, I will make of you a great nation. He really had to trust God, because there weren't that many people with him. And then he said, I will make you a blessing. I will make you a blessing. Again, this small group of people, and he says, I will make you a blessing. In other words, he didn't just want those people to be great for their greatness' sake. He wanted them to be great so that they could be a blessing for others. A blessing for others. And that's what he still calls us. He doesn't just make us great here and participate in the Eucharist just for our own sake, but so that we are a blessing for others. So as we go through this Lent, we ask ourselves, how are we, as a parish, a blessing for others? How am I a blessing for others? And so, last Lent, as I was going through some of this, and I was asking myself some of these questions, and I thought of the people, you know, from Syria. You know, the Catholic people from Syria, they got caught in the middle of the war, and their churches were destroyed, and lots of the Catholics, you know, got killed. And if they didn't get killed, a lot of them were refugees. And so I was saying I had compassion for them, but then I said, well, if you really got compassion for them, what are you doing? What are you doing for them? Certainly praying for them. But then I also remember that there was a group that called themselves aid to the church in need. And they served the people in Eastern Europe and in the Far East. And this past year, they had been serving especially the refugees from Syria, Catholics that were being killed. So I had to find their address and to find a way of getting something to them in order to help the church in need. So we ask ourselves, how am I going to be a blessing? We ask as a parish, how are we going to be a blessing to others? And, you know, when we get up to be my age, you get up all kinds of letters, huh? Begging letters. Because by the time we are as old as we are, they all have our names. They all have our names. And we get something in the mail. And so the people that, in a former parish where I was at, they were saying, you know, that really creates a problem for some of our people. They get all this mail and they say, should I put $1 or $2 into each envelope and mail it to them? Or how do I handle all of this? Because I'm supposed to be a blessing for others. And so what the parish did then was, they said, we're going to have 3 people. If you get a letter from anybody, just bring it to church, and we're going to give all these letters to these 3 people. They're going to look them over and study them, and then they're going to recommend, every quarter, they're going to recommend to us which ones are worthy of our generosity. Way of helping us to really, really reach out in some ways to be a blessing for others. And so if we have been gifted in different ways, we offer our gifts to be a blessing for others. And then in the psalm response, at the end of the psalm response, it says, may your kindness, O Lord, be upon us who have put our hope in you. May your kindness, O Lord, be upon us. You know, here they are calling on that same hope that Abraham had when God said to him, I will make of you a great nation. He had have a lot of trust and a lot of hope. And so that's also what we want. We want him to bless us and to let his kindness be upon us, to help us to experience that kindness. Really, their kindness could be translated in English as mercy, huh? As mercy. God's everlasting kindness is really God's mercy be upon us. And so we indeed want that also for us and for our loved ones. And then we come to that other part in the gospel phrase. It says, this is my beloved son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Listen to him. And so then we ask ourselves, how do I listen to him? How do I find what he's really trying to say to me? That means we take some time and to be kind of quiet about it and just in our own way ask the Lord to speak to us and to help us know how we are supposed to listen and what we are supposed to hear. What we are supposed to hear. And sometimes we need the help of somebody else, maybe of a spouse or of a friend. They can help us to really find out how do we listen to the Lord and what he wants us to do. So we can also talk with others because we can ask them, what are our gifts? What are the gifts that you see in us, in me? What are the gifts that you see in me? What would the Lord be saying that I should do with those gifts? We listen to him. And as we listen, We also get the help of Pope Francis. Every pope for Lent writes a letter to the church throughout the world. And so I've picked out just a few things that Pope Francis is saying that the Lord wants to say to us. And he says, we must continually return to this mystery, the Paschal mystery. The Paschal mystery means the suffering, the death, the rising, and the ascension of Jesus. So whenever you hear that phrase, and you hear it often during Lent and in Easter time, the Paschal mystery, that is the suffering, the death, the rising, and the ascension of Jesus, and that we enter into that mystery because we have been baptized, huh? In baptism, we are made one in Jesus, and that means we share in that death, that resurrection, and ascension of Jesus. That he takes us with him. And whenever we come to celebrate the Eucharist, that's also here, it's present. The Paschal mystery. We enter into and we receive and are part of that suffering, the dying, and the rising of Jesus. The Paschal mystery. He said we must be open to its spiritual power and respond with freedom and generosity. We must respond with freedom and generosity. Because Jesus, in his suffering, dying, and rising, acted with great freedom and with generosity. For he suffers and dies for our sake. And then he says, the experience of mercy is possible and only possible in a face-to-face relationship with the crucified and risen Lord who loved me and gave himself for me in a heartfelt dialogue between friends. So what he's saying is we must be able to see Jesus as a friend and to imagine him sitting with us and talking with us. And if you have a situation that you're struggling with, you're saying, well, Jesus, I'm going through this struggle. I don't know what to do. Can you give me some sign letting me know what I am to do in this situation and how I'm supposed to be responding so that I can respond and dialogue with Jesus. Pope Francis uses that phrase a lot, to dialogue with Jesus. Trying to get at that, we have that personal relationship where we talk with him. And then he says, this is why prayer is so important in Lent. Because the prayer is that dialogue. And we let Jesus speak to us also. Not just that we say a prayer, but we also allow time for Jesus to speak to us. And then he goes on to say, this suffering of Christ is present in the many innocent victims of wars. The suffering of Christ is present in the many innocent victims of wars, in attacks on life. From that of the unborn to that of the elderly and various forms of violence. Many innocent victims of wars. They tell us that there's about 30,000 people that are displaced presently because of wars every day. 30,000 every day. A lot of people. A lot of violence in our war. That means we pray for peace, huh? We pray for peace where people can dialogue with our Savior. And to touch the suffering Christ means to touch the suffering people around us. To touch the suffering Christ is to touch the suffering people around us. Some way that we be with those people, whether it is in prayer, whether it is in visiting with them, whether it is in giving them a hope or encouragement. But when we do that, when we touch anyone who is suffering, we are touching the wound of Christ. They are present in environmental disasters, the unequal distribution of the earth's goods, human trafficking in all its forms. Yes, again, in all of those things, when we touch those things, and when we become a part and try to solve those things in a way that gives us peace, we are touching the suffering of Christ. So the Pope is asking us, and that means that he's helping us to discern what Jesus is saying to us. If there are 30,000 refugees created every day by wars, we know that that's a place we need to be in some way. Yeah? Some way, whether it's in prayer, whether it's in reaching out to them through some charitable works that helps those people. That's a part of what's going on today. We're so lucky that we live in a country where we don't even think of any missile coming at us. Huh? That's just not a part of us. Although we might think of the coronavirus. Huh? A lot of people now suffering from coronavirus. So we somehow look at those things around us, and when we do something for those suffering people, we are touching the heart of the suffering Christ. We are ministering to him. And in doing that, he is also ministering to us. The wounded Christ is all around us. He ministers to us, and he asks that we minister to each other so that we can all share in the suffering, the death, the rising, and the ascension of Jesus.